Glenn asks me with an easy grin. Sometimes it's hard to think of her as Bran's sister. Though they do look like siblings, she's more carefree than he'll ever be. She acts spontaneously while he counts his every step, every word, every action, like a psycho. Except when my body talks to his, of course. That's when I get the uncut version of my lotus flower. Nikolai, Killian says. His name is Nikolai. But I love Nico, I say with a smile. To give Bran credit, he pretends that I didn't say a word as he sips from his coffee. However, I can see his hand twitching on his thigh.
Right? It's much easier to call him Nico instead of Nikolai. Don't be jealous, Kill.
Yeah, don't be jealous, cousin. Glenn and I are friends, right?
Uh-huh.
She grins, and I wink at her. I swear I catch Bran glaring at me from my peripheral vision, but when I look at him, he's busy watching his coffee. Watch it, Nico. Kill threatens in mock calm. You dig in your own grave. Let me search for the fucks I have to give. I pretend to check my pockets and then produce two middle fingers. Oh, here you go. Glenn bursts out laughing. Killian is nowhere near amused, and Bran is still lost in his phone. Christ, his mental door slam game is strong. So what were you doing here before we interrupted you? I ask Glenn.
Nothing much. Bran and I love to catch up.
You must be close, I say, and feel Bran stiffen beside me.
We are. We're a team against Lan.
We're not against Lan.
He speaks for the first time, voice calm and clear like an unmovable mountain.
He's our brother.
Yeah, well, he doesn't act like one.
This is not the time or place for this discussion.
He says point blank, and although he sounds composed, there's a firm edge beneath it. Hearing him speak in that tone is how I figured out his kind image is just that, an image. He's actually a bit controlling. Okay, a lot. Neurotically so. He acts like he's okay with everything, but deep down, he tries to manipulate the situation so it works the exact way he wants it to. He's picky, standoffish, and meticulous. Difficult and grumpy, too.
The quiet ones are the fucking scariest.
Whatever,
Glenn pouts.
You always try to give excuses for him anyway.
He's my twin brother.
Yeah, okay.
She rolls her eyes and slurps aggressively from her cup as Kill strokes her shoulder. I see an opportunity, and I sure as fuck take it. Since the lovebirds are busy, I plant my hand on Bran's and he goes still, his hand slightly trembling beneath mine. He's so fucking warm that I can't help threading my fingers through his, digging the pads in his thigh. Bran goes still, and here's the thing, he doesn't try to push me away, so I go further. Stroking his skin with my thumb, trying and failing not to get turned on by a mere stolen touch in public. I really love how his hand is big, but still slightly smaller than mine. It's perfect size. He is perfect in every physical aspect. Anyone who says otherwise is clearly a blind fucking idiot. Glenn looks up and Bran subtly pulls his hand free and shoves mine away, then grabs his phone, building that wall around himself. Not so fast. I pull out my phone and text him. Me. You're not paying me any attention, baby. I'm jealous of Kill and Glenn. He reads it immediately, and I can see him glaring at his phone as if it's my face.
Bran, go away.
Me. But I don't want to.
Don't be a baby, Nikolai.
I thought you were the baby, baby. He covers his mouth with a palm, but it's too late. I can see him smiling. It takes everything in me not to lean over and feast on that smile and pull on his lips with my teeth just the way he loves it. Me. You smell so good. I want to lick you up.
Bran. Nikolai.
You look so hot. I want to eat you up. I can't wait to fuck you until you're a blithering mess, baby.
Shut up.
Love how you're prim and proper in public, but turn into a filthy-mouthed sex god in private. How you're all quiet now, but you become loud when your ass swallows my cock. Getting hard, thinking about your face when you choke on my cock.
Stop.
Oh, one last thing. I forgot to do this earlier today. I send him a dick pic I took this morning. Brand squirms in his seat and immediately exits the chat. I suppress a smile as I keep staring at my screen. Is it Simon? Kill's words pause my attempts to send another dick pic just to mess with my Bran. I slide my gaze from my phone to my cousin, frowning. Simon?
Is he the one you're exclusive with?
Kill asks. Bran pauses with his cup of coffee near his lips before he slowly sets it down.
You're in an exclusive relationship?
Glynn asks with apparent glee.
He is, and wouldn't tell me who with. Kill pauses. I'm going through your toys, and Simon is the only one clingy enough to want that.
Who's Simon?
Glynn asks. I steal a look at Bran, and his lips are set in a line. He knows exactly who Simon is, even though it's been several weeks. After all, he agreed to be exclusive because of his jealousy.
He's the one who walks and talks like a diva and calls Nikolai daddy,
Killian answers her.
Oh, Simon!
Glynn smiles.
He asked me to call him Sim.
More like a simp. Kill twists his lips. He's so cringe. Please tell me he's not the one you're with.
Maybe he is, I say as I hit send on the second nude. This time it's a full body mirror selfie where I'm fisting my cock and biting my lower lip. Then, just to fuck with him, I type, me. Thinking of your ass makes me drip, baby. Bran stands up all of a sudden, hand clenched around his phone, but he sounds composed when he says,
I'm going to pop into the toilet.
I suppress a smile as I watch the dots appear and disappear.
Stop smiling like a creep, Kill says. It's disgusting.
Don't be jealous of my sexy smile, Satan's heir. I slide my phone into my pocket. I need something sweet. Be right back. I head to the cashier, pretending to be checking out their sweets. No Italian pistachio croissant, no baklava, and no macarons. Not interested. After I catch a glimpse of Kill and Glynn eating each other's faces, I slip to the restroom. I find Bran standing in front of a sink, his face twisted and his fingers holding his phone in a death grip. I slip behind him and whisper in his ear, careful, if you glare at it hard enough, it might break. He flinches and whirls around so fast he nearly falls. I wrap an arm around his waist. Easy, baby. His wild eyes search our surroundings with tendrils of panic.
What are you doing, Nikolai?
I figured you could use a hand. I glide my palm to his erection and fist it through his pants. Did you get hard looking at my nudes, baby?
Nikolai.
He struggles for control, his voice hoarse.
This is a public place. Stop.
But the possibility of getting caught is making your cock thicker. I lean over and slide my tongue over the shell of his ear. Or is that because of me?
You need to get over yourself.
His words end with a moan when I bite the lobe of his ear, then his jaw and his bottom lip. You were saying?
Cut it out.
What was that? I stroke his erection, making it as hard as stone. Your cock is so fucking hard for me.
Fuck. Bloody hell.
Love it when you curse, baby.
Nikolai.
Whatever he has to say is cut off when the sound of footsteps comes from outside. Bran freezes, the lust replaced by a sense of panic so steep it baffles me. Even his erection starts to deflate. Why the fuck does he act as if it's the end of the world if someone catches him kissing me? I grab his wrist and drag him to the last stall, then shove him inside, slam the door shut, and back him up against the wall. A few male voices reach us from outside, discussing the Premier League and whatnot.
Leave.
Shut your fucking mouth.
Nico.
I crash my lips to his and he groans into my mouth. The sound's small, but enough to make me hot and bothered. The kiss is hard and fast, meant to make him stop talking. I don't want to hear his grating words right now. I'm gonna need you to be real quiet for me, baby. I unzip his pants and pull out his hard cock. Seems you really get off on this, don't you?
Nikolai, don't. Oh, please.
He shakes his head frantically, but I jerk him from the base to the tip, relishing how he turns rock fucking hard. And just because I can't help it, I push on the foreskin and tease the hole. You're dripping from me. How cute.
Fuck you.
Love it when you talk dirty. I lower myself to my knees with a bit of struggle. We're big guys, especially me, and this place is small. Once I'm in an okay position, I slide him into my mouth. Bran growls, and I press a hand to his lips. Shh, I whisper around his dick. I love it when you're loud, but this isn't the place for those sexy growls. Be quiet for me as I choke on your cock, baby. He throws his head against the wall, eyes rolling as I take him to the back of my throat, then out again and in again. I tease the tip, thrusting my tongue against it a few times. He curses against my palm as he buries his hands in my hair, shoving me against his groin. I suck him in a frenzy, wanting to get him off. I choke on his cock and squeeze his balls until he's writhing against the wall and his pre-cum spills on my tongue. God fucking damn it. He's a sight to behold when chasing his pleasure. Flushed skin, hooded eyes, and demanding fingers. He has an obsession with my hair, and just like every time, he yanks away the tie to sink his fingers against my skull, fisting my hair, then stroking it, then fisting it again. I can feel his muscles tightening as he thrusts in my throat faster. His teeth sink into my fingers as his cum explodes in my mouth and down my throat. He comes for a long time, and I keep sucking him dry until I swallow every last drop. He sags against the wall, fingers clenching in my hair. Once I'm done, I pull him out and lick my lips as he watches me with feral eyes. Stop looking at me like that or I'll fuck you, baby. As I stand up, I remove my hand from his mouth, now sporting a red half moon over the tattoos from his teeth.
What the hell do you think?
My lips seal to his. Unless it's a thank you, I don't want to hear it. He watches me for a beat.
Can you stop kissing me randomly?
I lick his lower lip. Nope. He tucks himself in, fighting against the redness creeping up his skin. Once he's back within his boring element, he glares at me.
What's with Killian finding out about you being in an exclusive relationship?
He just loves playing detective. I lick his throat. Don't worry, he doesn't know it's you. Bran's hands land on my chest and he tries to push me away, but he tilts his head to the side, giving me access to that pounding pulse point.
Why does he think it's Simon?
You heard him. Simon is the one who makes more sense.
Why? Because he calls you Daddy.
I chuckle against his neck, trying to be quiet even though there are no voices outside. Jealous, baby? He fists my hair and tugs me back.
Don't mess with me, Nikolai.
Don't mess with me. I wrap my fingers around his throat and squeeze. You have no right to act butthurt when you're the one against a public relationship. If you don't like people thinking I'm with Simon, boo fucking who? It's your fault. A smudge of pain passes through his eyes, and I want to kick myself in the ass when he releases my hair. Baby.
No, you're right. I'm the one who wanted it this way, and I need to deal with the consequences.
But why does it have to be like this? We can...
No!
He cuts me off so harshly, I actually step back. You didn't even hear what I have to say.
The answer is no, Nikolai.
He says with a note of panic, and I want to reach inside him and drag out whatever demon is making him feel this way, then beat it to death. What the fuck happened to him? Why does he go into this mode sometimes, as if he's being chased by a monster?
Just drop it, okay? Go back first.
Hey, what's wrong?
Nothing, I'm fine.
You look anything but fine.
Why is that any of your business? Why do you have to care? Just leave me alone.
You know, you're pushing me too far,
and I might let you fucking drop, Brandon. His lips part, and I think he'll at least apologize like he usually does, but he whispers,
"Please go."
"Fuck you," I mutter, then whip the door open and leave. My movements are forceful as I wash my hands and stride back to the coffee shop. I pause by the table when I notice the atmosphere is not as sickeningly sweet as when I left. The reason is that Brand's clone is in my chair. I place a hand in my pocket and stand beside him. "You're in my spot." Landon's head whips in my direction, sporting a slimy smirk. Although he shares Brand's physical traits, Landon is buffer and much more loathsome. If it weren't for the identical features, no one would think they're siblings. Where Bran is calm and a fucking asshole behind closed doors, Landon is an asshole openly, antagonistic, and completely unhinged. I still haven't forgiven him for kidnapping Kill, even if my cousin let it go to keep his relationship with Glynn intact.
"Don't see your name on it, big man,"
he says with that same smirk, and the only reason I don't punch him in the face is because it's a mirror of Bran's. Can't stand the fucking guy.
"Lan?"
Bran shows up, looking not one bit flustered, as if he didn't get on my last fucking nerve a minute ago. He carefully slides into his seat, keeping his attention on his pretentious brother.
"What are you doing here? I heard you and Glynn were catching up, so I wanted to join. I didn't think there would be unwanted company."
"Watch your mouth," Kill grits, and Glynn presses on his hand as if stopping him from punching her brother, who definitely deserves to be sent to the moon with a hole in his goddamn face.
"Bran, little bro,"
Landon wraps an arm around his shoulders.
"Why were you sitting beside Nikolai? Stupidity can be contagious, you know."
This fucking... Before I can kick him, Bran pushes him away.
"That's rude. Apologize, Lan." "Me? Apologizing? Good one, Bran. You're effortlessly funny." "I apologize on my brother's behalf,"
he says, barely looking at me. Christ, this fucking asshole, I swear. I glare at him, and he ducks his head, cutting off eye contact like the coward he is.
"What's going on here?"
Lan snaps his fingers in front of my face.
"Hey, you. Eyes off my brother before I fucking blind you."
"Lan!"
Glynn chastises. Bran lifts his head and the fear I see in his gaze makes me sick to my stomach. He's so terrified about the notion that anyone could find out about us that he looks like he's on the verge of throwing up. "I'm out of here," I announce and leave without a look behind. Fucked a lot of them, starting with Brandon fucking King. I walk back to the mansion and then take my Harley on a ride along the seashore, but neither the air nor the vibrations of the bike lighten my mood. After half an hour, I park by the beach and pull out my phone. I find a text from the bane of my fucking existence.
"Bran, thank you, and I'm sorry."
Motherfucker. Me. What for?
"Bran, I'm sorry for how I spoke. Thank you for leaving and not clashing with Lan. Listen, I think he's suspicious about something."
"So?"
"It's best I keep my distance from the penthouse for now."
Typical Brandon. Running away at the first sign of danger seems to be your modus operandi.
"You don't know Lan. He's like a dog. If he comes sniffing around, he'll find out everything."
"And that's such a fucking tragedy?"
"Nikolai, please. Don't do this."
"You know what? I am doing this. I don't have time for spineless, indecisive assholes. I'm neither your plaything nor your booty call."
"What does that mean?"
"Go find yourself another toy. We're done. Oh, wait. We were never anything in the first place. Delete my number."
21. Brandon. "I've never been addicted to anything, so I didn't realize how notoriously painful it is to go through withdrawal. It's been 2 weeks since Nikolai told me we were done, in a text. and I'm still not over the bursts of loneliness. 2 weeks and it's getting worse, not better. It's not your common withdrawal, after all. Or maybe I'm just a newbie at this entire thing, and I don't have the foggiest clue about how to handle these types of situations. Sometimes, the pain and nausea get too much, and I'm smothered by the black ink and have to purge it out. Somehow. Anyhow. I've seen my blood more often than not in the past 2 weeks. The other day, I let it flow and flow until I lost consciousness in the bathroom. A part of me wished I'd never wake up. A part of me prayed for it as I lay on the bathroom floor, my eyes blurred with moisture and my heart too tired to keep pumping life into my useless body. My brain checked out, and my thoughts came to terms with how utterly fucking tired I am. Of myself. Of everything. I still am. My brush ghosts over the canvas, adding strokes of warm colors, intertwining and mixing them until they match my hollow insides. Art is the only thing that keeps me grounded. I don't even go to practice anymore, after I purposefully sprained my ankle. I'm withdrawing from social circles with all sorts of excuses, studies, work, pending deadlines. I just don't have the energy to deal with anyone or anything at the moment. But more alone time only pushes me toward bad habits. Cutting and blood and fucking self-loathing. I'm spiraling and I can't stop it. I'm falling and can't hit the bottom. My hand trembles and the plaster that I covered with my thick watch burns. The injury tingles and my blood pumps into the barely healing cut. The doomsday feeling racks my brain and saliva floods the inside of my mouth. Tick. You're so fucking weak. Tick. A disgrace. Tick. Fucking useless. The brush falls from between my shaky fingers and hits the floor, leaving an orange stroke on the plastic. I open the drawer to my right and grab my Swiss Army knife almost on autopilot. If I just open it one more time, no one will know. If I just purge the black ink surrounding me, I won't feel trapped in my own skin and it'll be over. Except that I repeated those same words the last 5 fucking times I did this. 5 times in the span of 2 weeks. 5. Bloody hell. I'm losing control. And yet my fingers wrap around the handle, and I remove my watch and then place it on the table. I peel off the plaster and stare at the dark red skin. The last time I did this, the cut was so deep I lost a lot of blood. I thought it'd never heal and I'd need stitches. The skin mended itself back together again, fruitlessly hoping for closure, for healing, like a fucking masochist. The first time I cut myself was by accident, when I was shaving at 17. I watched the tiny droplet of blood rolling down my jaw and neck and felt an immense sense of relief. It was the first time I looked at myself for a solid minute without feeling the need to smash the mirror. So I became a bit careless with my shaving and cut myself here and there just to see more of my blood. The harder the blood flowed, the more the black ink receded. But I didn't do it often. I was extremely careful not to make my parents suspicious. So when Dad joked that maybe he should teach me how to shave again, I stopped doing those small nicks on my face and neck. I started shaving down there and cutting between my thighs where no one could see. I would sit in the bathtub and watch the blood trickling out of me, close my eyes and suck in clean air. After I started uni, I began cutting my wrist, but only in the exact same spot, drawing over the 3 lines that could be hidden by a watch. But I didn't let myself do that often, either. No more than once a month, maybe, when the nausea constricted my throat and I couldn't breathe without gagging on the black ink. When it hurts to the point I can't exist within my own fucking skin. The frequency hiked up in the past couple of weeks to the point that I can't control it anymore. When I was with Nikolai, I didn't do it, because he was awfully perceptive. He could sense something was wrong with my hand and arm and kept asking about it for weeks. I kid you not, he would be like, "By the way, how did you hurt your hand? It looks serious." Considering all the sex, I didn't dare cut my thighs. And the weird part is that I wasn't really overwhelmed by the urge to see my blood. It was manageable. Until it wasn't. Until now, where I'm fantasizing about cutting my fucking wrist off.
Han, please. I'm so worried about you. Please talk to me. Tell me something. Anything.
Mum's words from earlier rush into the fog, and I release a shaky exhale. I told her I loved her, and then hung up, because I couldn't deal with the pain in her voice. Dad called me and I didn't pick up, because hearing the concern in his voice would undo me. It scares me that I'm the disappointment who's nothing like him in any shape or form. He might have been strict with Lan, but really, that's because he reminds him of his younger self. I'm the fucking anomaly, who only ever caused my parents' concern. A fucking hurricane of disappointment and failed potential. A vibration pulls me out of the trance, and I blink twice, then reach for the phone with my injured hand, slightly trembling, my heart lodged in my throat. Over the past couple of weeks, my coping method to get over the never-ending withdrawal was texting myself as if I were texting Nikolai. I have enough pride to not contact him after he dumped me. But it didn't hurt to send those texts to myself, pretending it was him. At least that way I got to express what I felt in words. Daft words like, "Why did you come into my life if you were going to leave? Why did you make me addicted to you if you didn't plan to stay? If I say I'm sorry, will you come back? You were never a booty call. I don't even do those. And I'm the fucking toy, not you. I don't even like running anymore. You ruined it like everything else, fucking bastard. Fuck you. I'm messed up, Nikolai. Extremely so. You should be glad to have dodged a bullet. I hate myself. Why don't you hate me too? Oh, right. You do now. Finally. Congrats on the wake-up call. Better late than never. Are you back with Simon and your other friends with benefits? Did you find a replacement already?" That last thought often crams me down the black hole of my mind, and I can't shake it off, no matter how much I try to. I've seen Nikolai in the fight club a couple of times, mainly because I can't handle not looking at him anymore. But I always leave before he takes notice of me. Just like I wrote those texts to myself instead of him. But here's the thing. Last night, I got hammered with Remy, and when I came back to my room, I was on edge. So I went through Nikolai's chaotic Instagram, which he fills with the most random nonsense. It's a habit I indulge in lately, and it helps to quiet down the demons, at least for a while. Around 10:30, which is when I usually go to the penthouse, he posted a picture of the telly on a scene from the Nightly Murder Mysteries. The hashtags were #watching, #alone. My heart revived from the ashes at that moment, but only for a fraction of a second, before I saw all the comments from men and women thirsting over him and offering to accompany him, including fucking Simon. "You can watch me, Daddy." So remember the part where I was drunk? I wasn't thinking straight, so I kind of texted him. "Me. Do you miss me?" I kept pacing my room back and forth, waiting for his reply. My mind, heart, and fucking body were a mess of epic proportions. I wanted to drive to the penthouse and see him. I wanted to throw away whoever he'd invited to our space. But I would have definitely gotten into an accident if I'd driven in that state. And while I couldn't give two flying fucks about my life, I wouldn't endanger other people's lives. He replied after a whole 2 minutes, even though he read it immediately.
"Nikolai, who's this?"
My heart plummeted, and I stopped in the middle of my room, staring at the text as if it were a knife that had plunged itself into my chest, and protruded through my back. Maybe I read the post wrong. He's already moved on, and I'm the one stuck in this fucking prison of my own making. Me. Wrong number. Sorry. I was about to throw down my phone and indulge in my self-destructive hobby, but it vibrated in my hand. He was calling me. I swear I never felt so shaken up as when I swiped up and placed the phone to my ear.
Why the fuck?
He inhaled sharply, and I felt the vibration of his voice in my ear. Then I stopped breathing altogether, as if that would make me hear him better.
It's obviously not the wrong fucking number. What the fuck do you want from me, Brandon?
His tone warred with calm, but I could hear the agitation beneath it. I smiled and closed my eyes briefly in relief as I listened to his breaths and soaked in his voice. He didn't forget me or delete my number. You never call me by my full name. I don't like it when you do.
I don't give a fuck what you like. I don't give a fuck about you or how you're doing. I told you we're fucking done, so stay the fuck away from me.
But I don't want to. I threw his words back at him, too drunk to care about how desperate I sounded.
What the fuck did you just say?
I don't want to. You obviously don't want to either, or you wouldn't be talking to me. You're that obsessed with me, huh?
I'm so over your bullshit.
Liar. You can't stay away from me, Nico. I used another one of his sentences. You know you want me. No matter what I do, you come crawling back to me. He hung up then, and I cursed myself for the overconfident tone I used when, really? I just wanted to hear his voice, even angry and wrong. Even if he was calling me by my full name, it was still his voice that I'd spent way too long without. Then I went to bed, imagining his strong arms encircling me and his chest beneath my head. For some reason, I thought he'd text me today and had my hopes up when I felt the vibration just now. But it's not his name that's on the screen. Dad. Call me as soon as possible, Bran. No matter how hard it is, I want you to remember that you have a family who loves you and would stand behind you no matter what. You're not alone, son. Okay? Pressure builds behind my eyes, and I let the Swiss Army knife fall to the table. Then rub the heels of my palms against my eyes. I don't think he knows how much I needed to hear that. Or maybe he does. Dad has always been really good at reading the atmosphere and providing me with the right support at the right time. Me. What's normal, Dad? And please don't call, I don't want to talk on the phone. Dad. Normal is whatever you decide it is. What if my notion of normal is drastically different from everyone else's? I don't like being different. I hate it. I can't cope with it. Bran, listen. Society's perception of normal is a learned concept. It's an opinion that was passed down through generations until it eventually became a tradition. It's rooted in people's minds because it's been taught for a long time. But fundamentally, it's just an opinion. It means nothing just because people conform to it. You being different is fucking fantastic, son. You've risen above their sheep mentality, and you can choose to be proud of your difference instead of hating it. It might take time to shake off society's perceptions, but that's okay. I'm here. Your mum is here. Your whole family is here to help you. All you have to do is say the words. I don't want to be different, Dad. I want to be like Lan. Why can't I just be like him? Lan is different too, Bran. He's so different. It drives me insane. He's so different, he wears it like a badge of honor. You know this. He's literally been diagnosed with narcissistic and antisocial personality disorder. Yeah, but he seems normal. Because he fakes it. I fake it too. But I don't tell him that. Me. Thanks, Dad. I'll talk to you later. Dad. Come over when you can. I have a lot of new recipes to teach you. I send him a few heart emojis, and then hide the knife, add a new plaster, and put on my watch. On my way out of the studio, I congratulate myself for stepping back from the edge, though it was all Dad's work, really. But for how long can I keep up this facade before it explodes in my face? Loud voices reach me as soon as I'm close to the living room. Lan, of course, he's 99% the reason behind all trouble. Eli, and surprisingly, Cray, who barely speaks. He's shouting now. What's with all the commotion? What the... I trail off when I see Cray beating Lan to a pulp against the sofa. I storm toward them, but Eli grabs me by the nape and pulls me back. This isn't your place. What the actual hell? Lan's bleeding. Ah, you worried about me. I should have asked Cray to beat me up earlier. My brother can barely speak, teeth bloodied, but he drops a hand on his chest. So touched, I could cry. I wiggle against Eli's hand, but my cousin keeps me in a death grip while Cray continues punching my brother. Stop them! I bark at Eli. Why are you letting this happen? Your brother needs to be put in his fucking place. He's going to kill him! Small price to pay for all the fuckery he does. My heart lunges harder the more Cray beats Lan. The sound of his punches echoes in the air like a haunting symphony of violence. The fact that I can't help fills my throat with nausea. Through it all, Lan steals peeks at me and even winks. Fucking twat. Lan and I are different, and I've always suffered from an inferiority complex when it comes to him. Where he's the god, I'm the unknown peasant. Where he excels at everything and makes a show of it, I excel at everything silently. One would think his actions would make me hate him, but I don't. Seeing him hurt is no different than me being punched in the gut. I'm thrown back to the first and only time Lan ever begged as he held me close while I cried in his chest. Please, Bran, please, tell me what's fucking wrong. Though that happened during the darkest time in my life, his words and his hug are my favorite memories. That was almost 8 years ago, and no matter how we change, whenever I look at Lan, I see his face from when we were 15 as he kept me together. So I always want to keep him together as well, even if he puts himself in the worst fucking situations. I have no doubt that he wronged Cray in some way. He wouldn't hit Lan for no reason. Is this because of that fire at the heathens? I'm about to hit Eli and go to Lan's aid when Remy walks in, stops at the entrance, and stares at the scene while blinking several times. Not sure what type of freak show or kink, no shaming, you king men are into, but I have a serious question. Am I too drunk, or is there actually a guy tied up in our basement? I go still in Eli's hold, that doomsday feeling trickling back to my mind. A guy is tied up in our basement? Sure as fuck, and if I'm not too drunk, then I'm pretty sure it's Nikolai Sokolov. My lips part. My heart falls. What the fuck? That's the surprise I kept for you, Cray Cray. Landon grins like evil incarnate. He's your path to vengeance. Told you I had everything figured out. I came up with a plan to save Nikolai. I don't give two flying fucks about Creighton's need for vengeance against Jeremy, which is the reason behind this whole thing, as Eli explained. Lan used Cray in one of his games and concealed information about his past, a past that Jeremy's family has to do with. To make up for his shenanigans, Lan concocted a plan to lure Jeremy into our house. And what's better than using his best friend as bait? Apparently Lan managed to drug Nikolai, which is how he could transport him and lock him up in the basement. I know I said I don't hate Lan, but I'd really love to punch him in the face for all the rubbish he keeps pulling. The thought of Nikolai drugged and tied up for my family's entertainment sobered me up immediately. I spent the whole night and half a day trying to think of how to get him out of here unscathed. The problem is, Lan and Eli have strictly forbidden me from getting close to the basement since, well, they know I won't stand by. I asked Remy for help, and he categorically refused to get involved in whatever this is. Mate, Lan is your brother, so he won't hurt you no matter what you do. I, on the other hand, could be skinned alive. And that psycho Eli is also in on this. Hell no. I'm just going to lock myself in my room and watch porn. Thank you very much. So I went on my own to the electricity generator room, studied the blueprint, and managed to cut the power in the basement, where they're keeping Nikolai. That way the cameras won't work. Then I stole the key from Lan while he was taking a shower, fetched a knife and a flashlight from the kitchen, and snuck to the basement. Once I arrive in front of the door, I search my surroundings before I unlock it and slip inside. My heart beats so loud in my chest, I barely manage to keep my hand steady as I'm overwhelmed by his scent, his presence, just him. I've always frozen up when I'm in a state of shock, and that happened more often than not when I was with Nikolai. His massive, unconscious body lolls on a chair in the empty room. Thick ropes swirl around his chest and dig into his inky arms, binding him to the chair, and his head is slumped forward, his hair camouflaging his face. It's longer now, wavier. My fingers twitch, wanting, no, needing, to touch it again, feel it, see if it'll still bring me peace like it used to. I can't stop it, even if I know I shouldn't do it, even if I'm sure this is just a recipe for disaster. My hand moves of its own accord as I sink my unsteady fingers in his hair and glide it back. The moment I see his face again this close, I want to throw away my pride, fall between his knees and beg him to take me back. I want to kiss his lips and feast on his tongue. 2 weeks without him has been a fucking eternity. I didn't care before him, but after him, it's torture to go day in and day out without his touch. Survive without his presence, his flirtatious nature and his clingy texts. Without his grins and his daft jokes. Without him. I stroke my fingers in his hair and contemplate kissing him just once. No one will know. He releases a groan, the sound vibrating and striking me in the chest. I let him go and pull at the hair on the back of my neck to keep my hand busy and stop me from touching his cheek, or worse, actually kissing him. Nikolai opens his unfocused eyes, pupils dilated, probably because of the drug Lan gave him. My heart thunders so hard behind my chest, I'm surprised he doesn't hear it.
Lotus Flower? What are you doing here?
My hand stops its incessant pulling. And I swear I've never felt so relieved as when he called me that instead of my real name. But then again, his speech is slurred, so maybe he's still drugged and doesn't know what he's talking about. I let my hand fall from my nape and fetch my knife, then start cutting the rope, trying to remain composed, to not actually stroke every slope of his muscles as I speak in my signature detached tone. You're the one who came into my house. You just couldn't stay away. I feel the rumble of Nikolai's chest against my hands and make out his grin from the corner of my eye as he drops his voice.
How else would I see you so adorably worried about me?
I am not worried about you. And don't fucking call me adorable again.
Wow. The posh boy can curse.
Shut it or I'll leave you to my brother's and cousin's non-existent mercy.
If I'd known I'd see this side of you, I would have gotten myself kidnapped long ago.
I stare at him, my chest aching and my heart begging for something, anything. Are you insane? Nikolai rolls a shoulder.
Probably.
I puff out a long sigh. I'll release you and leave the back door open, and you'll have to find your own way out. No! The new voice makes me freeze, and I start panicking. How long has he been there? I straighten and slowly turn around. Cray. Shit. This whole thing is happening because of his revenge. I need to get Nikolai out of here. Now. I have a terrible feeling about this. Still turned sideways, I cut on Nikolai's ropes, trying to keep my movements as minimal as possible. Cray, however, notices and barks. Step back! This isn't right and you know it. Step the fuck back, Bran! I won't repeat myself another time! I do, letting my hand with the knife fall to my side as I face my cousin. Get out, he orders. This isn't like him. He's blinded by revenge and isn't even seeing me. I'm the only person he actually seeks for company, because we're both comfortable with silence and don't feel the need to fill it. He's easygoing and prefers sleep over anything else. But he also fights and takes after the king genes more than I do. This is the first time I've seen Cray so unhinged and out of control. I'm worried Nikolai will be caught up in the madness he's planning with Eli and Lan. And that sparks a loathsome feeling inside me. Fear. The need to protect him beats under my skin like an urge. Listen. I take a step toward Cray. I know you feel the need for revenge, but this whole thing is wrong. No one asked for your opinion. Stay out of this. I won't allow you to throw your life away for parents you've never known and a past you're better off without, Creighton. I speak in a firm tone. I'm letting Nikolai go, and then we'll talk about this. Rationally. I turn toward Nikolai. And I feel like I'm melting when I find him looking at me with those hooded eyes. I'm sorry, I say with mine, for everything. I grab the ropes, but a blow lands at the back of my head and the world is pulled from beneath my feet. The last thing I see is Nikolai's wide eyes as I fall on top of him. But I manage to slip the knife between his thighs so he can save himself. Or at least, I think I do. My last thought is just how much I've missed his smell. Maybe losing consciousness isn't so bad after all, if I get to hug him.
22. Nikolai. The situation turned into a shit show. Two people left that basement in a fucking ambulance that day. One of them was me, due to that motherfucker Creighton. But hey, karma is a little bitch who works very fast because he also got what was coming to him. I might have made my fate worse since I pushed my throat against his blade. No regrets, though. I refused the very notion of being used against Jeremy. That's just not going to happen under my fucking watch. Anyway, that was over a week ago. I'm fine now, didn't need many stitches, and in a few weeks I can wear the new scar as a badge of honor. Yes, bitch. My sisters and Jeremy don't agree about how I view the whole incident, but who gives a fuck? I'm alive. I'm fine. Or I was, until I found out a tragic fact that I'd been blind to see this whole time. My baby sister Mia is apparently friends with Bran. Friends. Why the fuck would he be friends with my sister unless he has an ulterior motive and is using her for another diabolical plan by his fucking brother or his whole fucked up family? He didn't even visit me in the hospital. Not that I'm butthurt about that or thinking about it on a daily basis or anything equally crazy. We're done. Yeah, right. You haven't moved on a fucking inch. I could swear I heard his voice when I was sleeping, and even saw him sitting in the chair beside my hospital bed and felt him stroking my hair. But then again, I've often been delusional when it comes to him. Sometimes I pictured him walking out from the penthouse elevator. Other times I imagined he came up to kiss me in public. The few times I fell into a deep sleep, I dreamed of his heartfelt smiles, erotic noises, and his head on my thigh. He invaded my every waking and sleeping moment. The harder I pushed my mind to forget him, the more persistently he haunted me. Oftentimes I found myself in the penthouse just to be able to smell him or see his shadow in the kitchen fixing God knows what. But I was fine. Fucking perfect. Except for bugging Jer to give me problems to solve and being at the fight club on a daily basis, everything else was awesome. I don't deal with complications, so removing the major complication from my life was the most logical decision I'd ever made. I was proud of myself for making that choice, for extracting the tumor that was growing inside me. I no longer had to deal with his grouchy presence, his push and pull games, and his stupid mixed signals. There was just his pesky fucking ghost that followed me everywhere and wouldn't leave me alone. But I was handling it. I was fucking okay. Until he sent me that goddamn text. Just like that, the thin layer of ice I'd surrounded myself with melted away. The asshole was right. I can't stay away from him. I can force myself away. I can try to be the very thing I'm not. Logical. But then I'll stalk him on social media, and sometimes in real life, from the shadows, like a motherfucking creep. Now is one of those times. I lean against my Harley, arms crossed and helmet on. I'm even wearing a leather jacket to be anonymous. My gaze is on an NGO's building. This is his favorite charity, the one that organizes marathons and performs volunteer work around the island. Naturally, Bran is one of their top volunteers since he has that kink for running. What I love about this building is that the windows are large, and I can see what's going on inside, even if I'm across the street pretending to be having coffee. I haven't touched the cup since I bought it, considering the helmet and all. My eyes track Bran's movements as he carries some chairs to the other side of a giant hall and smiles at something his colleague, a rosy-cheeked, curvy brunette, says. It's his golden boy smile. Not exactly fake, but it's not genuine either. He's mostly polite as he listens to her blabbering on and on like a fucking chatterbox. He better stop smiling at her or she'll do a fast climb to the top of my shit list. Would she stop fucking talking already? I need to chill for 1 second because we're not even together anymore. Not that we were before. He says something to his male colleague, and I also think about ways to make him die in his sleep. But the guy is not the problem. He mostly seems to engage in the conversation politely, like most British people do. The brunette, however, keeps following Bran from one end of the room to the other, buzzing around him like an annoying fucking bee. She's obviously flirting. Her eyes are droopy and she keeps twirling her hair and giggling like a fucking schoolgirl. Bran's body language never changes, though. He's smiling, yes, but he's in complete control of the situation. I know exactly what he looks like when he's interested, and the girl isn't getting anything. Not a flaring of his nostrils, a bobbing of his Adam's apple, or even continuous eye contact. Either he's too oblivious to her attempts at catching his attention, or he doesn't care. No, it'd be interesting if it was the second option. She places her hand on his arm, and I narrow my eyes. If she doesn't remove it, that hand will be broken into fucking pieces. We need to rectify this situation. I pull out my phone and stare at the text he sent me after the last time I saw him in the Elite's mansion basement.
Bran, I'm sorry I couldn't get you out before everything that happened. I'm also really sorry about what my family did. I wish I could have stopped it. Bran, you okay? Bran, I know you don't want to talk to me, but can you please tell me if you're doing okay? Bran?
I ignored him. If he really wanted to check on me, he should have gotten his ass to the hospital. Not that I'm salty about that or anything. Now I type. Me. What the fuck is up with your friendship with Mia? He's still exchanging pleasantries with the girl as he takes out his phone from his pocket. His smile disappears upon looking at the screen, and I take pride in how he looks a bit distraught at receiving a text from me. There are more emotions in his face now than in the past hour, and yes, I've been here for that long. Call it an unhealthy fucking obsession. He distances himself from the girl, in your face, and leans against a table, ankles crossed as he continues staring at the screen. He does that for a full fucking minute. I know because I'm looking at the time. Finally, my phone lights up.
Bran, we're just friends. We love gaming.
Dry as a fucking desert. Bran remains in the same position, watching his phone. From the outside looking in, he seems composed and unaffected, but the fact that he's waiting is a sign of his messed up equilibrium. Me. You want me to believe that?
Bran, why wouldn't you?
Me. The fact that you suspiciously became friends with my sister? How do I know you won't use her to get revenge against me, or as your fucked up version of camouflage like you did with Clara? He glares at his phone, and I can see the fire spreading from his eyes in waves.
Bran, I won't do that. Mia is really just a friend. Besides, why would I want revenge against you? We're already over, aren't we?
As I read his text, I watch him pulling at the hairs on his nape, his face tight, his shoulders hunched. And the scene does something to me. I know I'm falling back into the same pattern that I left, or pretended to. I'm letting him have his way because I can't fucking stay away from him. Because ever since I sent him that text, I've been thinking about him more than if I were meeting him every day. Because I haven't been able to fucking breathe since he disappeared. And now, I watch dumb Agatha Christie episodes because they remind me of him trying to explain the bland characters. Me, do you want it to be over? He stares at the phone, lips parting, and the incessant pulling at his hair comes to an abrupt halt.
Bran, what is that supposed to mean? You're the one who told me we're done.
Me, but you never told me what you want.
Don't fuck with me, Nikolai.
You're the one who fucked with me first. You texted me and were talking big on the phone and even came to save me. Maybe you're the one who can't stay away from me.
You're right. I can't. I tried and it's not working.
My jaw hits the floor as I read and reread his text to make sure this isn't another one of my delusional episodes. Fuck. I can't believe he admitted that out loud. Through text, but it still counts. Me. Does that mean you're miserable?
Bran, are you enjoying this?
Maybe. Gotta up my asshole game so I can match your energy.
Rub it in, would you?
Oh, I will. You can count on it.
Are you okay? Glenn said you were, but I want to hear it from you.
Meet me in the penthouse, and I'll tell you.
When?
Now. I expect him to send me an excuse so we can meet later after he's done playing the golden boy and being with his friends. But then my phone lights up.
Bran, I'll be there in 20.
Me, come out now.
Question mark?
Look across the street. His head whips up, and then he looks at me with that adorable, stupefied expression. I wave at him, and he searches his surroundings before he texts me.
Bran, what are you doing here?
Me, come out. I have a helmet and I'm fully dressed. No one will know it's me.
Go first. I'll follow in my car.
You have 2 minutes to come outside or I'll go in there, and it won't be pretty since I might actually break that girl's hand for touching you.
Don't. I'll be right out.
He mumbles something to an older lady in the back, and a few moments later, he storms out of the building. I expected him to be panicking about the possibility of being seen in public with me, but he seems more angry than panicked. Interesting. My gaze continues tracking his movements as he strides toward me. And fuck. I missed seeing him up close in his elegant shirts and pants, looking so hot and fit. Though a part of me wishes he was a bit disheveled like I've been this entire time. But then again, Bran has always been the personification of perfection. He handles himself with rigorous discipline and neurotic control. It's who he is. That's why he can be falling apart and look like he's detached. I always thought it was a defense mechanism he'd developed. But against what, I don't know. Since he's a closed-off asshole and all that. As soon as he stops in front of me, he watches me for a beat, even though he can't see anything. After I throw away the untouched cup of coffee, I pass him the spare helmet, and he shoves it on so that only his eyes are visible. They're intense and fucking angry, but I sense something different there. Lust as ferocious as mine, longing that almost matches my own.
Almost.
What on earth are you doing here? Are you a stalker?
Maybe.
You could have told me to come over.
And you would have?
I am now, aren't I? Let's just go.
Hop on. I throw my leg over the seat and rev the engine as Brand climbs on behind me and grabs the back of the seat for balance. Like he did the first time he was on my bike, which was coincidentally the first and only time anyone has ever been on my Harley. No matter how many times others expressed their desire to ride it, and then me, I didn't like the idea of anyone else but me touching this baby. For some reason, I don't mind when it's Bran. In fact, I wanted to get him in this position again after that first night he gave in. The night after which I messed with his control in an irrevocable fashion. In return, he completely fucked me up. I revved the engine again. You can grab onto my shoulders. I don't bite.
Sure about that?
He asks with a note of sarcasm. Okay, I don't bite when I'm riding. I expect him to refuse since he's allergic to any public touching, but he must be comfortable with how the helmets disguise us because his hands curl around the tops of my shoulders. It's not on purpose, but my lips pull into a smile behind my helmet. Fuck. It's been so long since he had his hands on me. And even though annoying clothes separate us, I soak in the feel of his hands and his warmth radiating down my back. He shifts behind me and I suck in a sharp inhale, breathing in his citrus and clover scent. Fuck me. The smell goes straight into my brain as if I sniffed a line of cocaine. I slide down the road before I haul him over and do something that will definitely send him running. It's windy, and I don't reduce my speed. Gravity forces Bran to be glued to me, his chest pressed to my back, his fingers digging into my shoulders and his thighs rubbing against mine. Note to self, I should take him on more rides. Though that depends on what he says tonight, because I won't let him have his way anymore. It's time we do it my way. I take a longer route to the penthouse, relishing the feel of his body pressed up against me, and just to fuck with him, I speed up. His fingers grip my shoulders tighter. It's easier if you wrap your hands around my waist, I shout over the wind.
No way in hell.
No one will know it's us. Chill, my dude.
I'm not your dude. And I'm not wrapping my arms around your waist like some girl.
No girl has wrapped her arms around my waist while I'm riding. Simon might have, though. I taunt. His blunt nails dig into my shoulders, and I can feel them through the jacket. He's definitely not doing this to hold on to me.
One more reason not to do it.
He sounds strained, battling against the anger rolling off him in waves. Did I mention that I love pushing his buttons? What if I tell you no one but you has been on my bike?
You just said Simon wrapped his arms around you.
I was messing with you.
Fuck you.
I hit the brakes for a bit, and he slams further into my back. This time he wraps his arms around my waist, fingers interlacing at my abs. I could get used to this. Just when I'm considering delaying the trip home, the floodgates open and rain pours down, and we're drenched in seconds. Fucking UK weather, am I right? I shout. I can feel the rumble of his chest against my back, but he speaks evenly.
It is what it is.
Take it or leave it, huh? I ask, and I'm not sure if it's about the weather anymore.
I guess.
He says quietly. I get us to the building and park my bike in the underground parking lot, then hop off and remove my helmet. Thankfully, I didn't get my hair wet. The rest of me is another story, though. My movement.